everybody. Grab your Bible and a pencil and a journal and maybe even a cup of coffee and join in on the conversation. But first, I would like for you to write this down. Micah 7, verses 7 and 8. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is the light for me.
Hey everyone, welcome to Write This Down with Dot Bowen. My name is Kara. I am Dot's daughter, and every week we sit down together and we talk through truth and scripture, and we are continuing to talk about our story in this episode. And it's really, I mean, I say our story, but it's really the story of what God did in my heart, which affected my mom and I's relationship. And she comes at it with her perspective and then also, of course, mine. But I also would really encourage you, if you have not taken the time to listen to last week's episode, I would say, please, please do, because last week was really when we just kind of set the stage and set up what we go into in this episode. So would highly encourage you to do that. And then also, if there's anything that we talk about in this episode, because we talk a lot about, you know, what I went through and a lot of our mother-daughter dynamics, we would love to hear from you. We would love to know if you have any comments, thoughts, or any questions that maybe we could answer if you are dealing with a situation. So, I mean, we're not counselors, but we still would love to hear from you. So we would love for you to pull up a chair and join in our conversation.
Hey, Caro, here we are. We're at the good story. We're at the good story.
We're at the crux of the story. I don't know if that's the right word, but like the, yeah. This is where it gets good.
It's where it gets good. This is where it is.
A good is relative, but.
Well, it's good because of the way that it's ended. And I know.
Well, it's like Good Friday. It's like it wasn't a good thing, yeah. But the Lord did.
Sunday
something.
Made it good. Yeah. You know, as I think about today, and this is your story, and a lot of people have asked me sometimes about your story, and I said, that's her story to tell, not me. And so I want that to be the truth today. I am very thankful for what God has done in your life. I just praise Him every single day. And if you had told me or told you, I'm sure you would say the same thing, even a couple years ago, well, maybe 4 or 5, that we would be doing this. And that we would be serving Jesus together and we would be as close as we are. There's no way would I've ever believed it. But, you know, not necessarily just my relationship with you, which is amazing and I'm very thankful, but your relationship with God. And, you know, when I think about how easily you could have chosen a different route and how everything was set up against you. And when I think about, when you go back a little bit of that time, a turning point in your life, I'm just so thankful that God did not give up on you or give up on me. Our relationship is strong, but more importantly, you know, and not just in your college years, but in your single life, there's been some really hard challenges. Mm-hmm. And you've, you know, would say to me now, you'd be so upset and you'd be upset with God just maybe even last year, but you would say, but Mom, I'm not walking away from God. I'm not, you know, I'm still good with
God. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. You would tell me that. And I'm so thankful for that.
I think with what happens at this part of the story of my story, I have never been the same since. Like it was that moment where literally Jesus changed everything. Mm-hmm. And I've had moments for sure. There, it's not like everything. It does remind me a lot of like what you say, you know, when you were faced with the crossroads with my dad and you decided to stay with him and work it out. And it's not like everything did not get better immediately. And so I think that where I chose two different paths in college, but when I finally, and I know we'll get there, I'll get into it, but I will say it was, when I look back, I'm like, I know that it was real because I've never been that person again. And I've never, you know, like I'd never gone back to that as in terms of like where my heart's at. And I think that's like the important thing of like what we said in that last episode in part one, it was the problem was my heart and what was in my heart. It's not what I was, what I was doing was product of it. But
on the outside, on the outside, no one would think there was a big change. Oh, I mean, definitely you begin to live differently. You were saying so much about your performance, but what you knew, and I understand this, and I've been there and done that. And if you're listening in and on this conversation, and maybe you've experienced this as well, there's just a time in your life when you totally surrender. It's one of those moments when God, even if you don't do anything else, the cross is enough. The forgiveness is enough. And it's that surrender. When you surrender and you just say, God, here I am. This is like, I'm here. I'm not walking away. Then performance becomes something out of love. Then you want to do out of love and not trying to get Jesus to love you, or you to try to love yourself, or get other people to care about you. That's performance based. But when you're really surrendered and you say, God, I want you above everything else, then the performance takes a whole different turn. But before we get into that, you want to tell your story. And let me do this before she starts. I want to say this again, and I said it before. We're not applauding. But,
I'm not going into details.
But I'm just saying, we're not applauding anybody walking away from God. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is that there are times when you walk away and you think it's that moment. But we want to kind of bring an awareness to, it may not be that very moment that you sinned and you walked away. It could have been the leading up to it. It's that foundation. It's that path that if you don't catch it, if you don't watch and take, every day, and be careful and being honest with God and honest with yourself, you may find yourself in a very similar situation. So that's why we had one, is because it does start. It doesn't just start when you went to college.
No.
So you're in college and you get with some friends. And again, not all of your friends are like this, but you had gotten with a group of people.
Yeah, I think the lead up, I think part one was important, or is important, because everything that I said that I would never do, I mean, I will never say I will never do something because
I can relate to that.
Yeah, like I did anything that if you had told my 16-year-old self what my 21-year-old self, I mean, I would have been appalling. I would never. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is what is so important about the daily just surrender of just being honest with the Lord and being honest with yourself, because the enemy is patient. And I think that is something that we forget, is just how patient the enemy, he doesn't care how long it takes. He just wants you to fall. He wants you to destroy, away from the Lord. Yeah. And so thankfully my season was not that long by God's grace in comparison to the grand scheme of things.
Or other people's stories.
Yeah. So I am super grateful for that. I mean, I did a lot of damage in a short amount of time, but maybe it didn't need to be long because I went hard shortly. But yeah, I mean, ultimately I walked away completely from the Lord. I mean, I remember I didn't want anything to do with him. I questioned whether or not he was real. I wanted nothing to do with the Lord. And again, it was not overnight. I mean, even in college, it took a couple years in college. It wasn't like my freshman year. It wasn't. And, I'd have like a weekend where maybe I would go and do things that I knew I shouldn't do or whatever. I'd have like a rebellious weekend. And then like the next week, I'd beat myself up and tell myself to get it together. Or, I would shame myself basically. So, and so there's like this pattern. It's like you see, it's that of I still, even in that, like I wasn't really dealing with it. And I was just shaming myself and being like, do better. And then, my time goes by. And And so, and then ultimately it just got to the point where I was just like, forget it. Like, I'm just like, I remember thinking like, what have you done for me lately? Like toward the Lord. Like, I wanted nothing to do with them. I felt like what I've done good all these years and you haven't done anything. Like, what have you done for me in terms of like, what I thought, like I still wasn't chosen. I still didn't have any friends, or I still didn't, like I still was miserable. I still, you name it. And so with that, again, performance, I lived a double life because I did not want you or anyone that I love to know what I was doing or how I was living. One, because I wanted to do it. So I didn't want to be told not to. And then two, I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to hurt you or dad or, you know, Scott or Christy or anyone. Mm-hmm. So I lived a double life, which was probably in some ways, I think, the worst part about it because I was, wow, living a double life. And so I had one of my childhood best friends, or my childhood best friend, super strong believer, like love the Lord. We grew up together. Her family is very close with you guys. She was always at my house. I was always at her house. She lived super mm-hmm. close to me, super close to us. And I remember vividly, I don't know how long, I'd have to like really sit down and think about it. I don't really care to. So I had been living this way for a certain mm-hmm. amount of time. And I remember it had gotten to the point where it wasn't fun anymore. And that's how what sin does. It's like it seems fun. It seems great. And then consequences start setting in or things start, you know, like it's the hook in.
Was it making you near as happy as you thought?
No, mm-hmm. it's the clickbait where it's like, oh, or hook and bait. I don't know what the term is, but you know, it was mm-hmm. like, I got me. And then I thought I was miserable before. I was miserable. And so this is where it was, she had no idea the timing of it. And obviously it was just the Holy Spirit and the Lord working it at the perfect time. But she had called because it also had pushed her away. Like anyone, you know, like I didn't want truth. I didn't want the light. I was, you know, had buried myself in the darkness to the point where I was like, I didn't think there's any hope for light. So, mm-hmm. but I remember she called and she was like, this was out of love. She was like, I love you too much to let you live this way. But like, basically like, if you want to live however you want to live, but you need to be honest with your family. And she was like, if you don't confess, I'm going to tell them. And it was like everything in me, this is where it was the perfect timing because like I said, I was miserable enough to where I thought I'll tell them, like, I'll do it. Like I agree. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm not gonna get into all the details. I honestly just don't want to relive it too much, but the basic bottom line is I came home and I confessed. And
I remember you saying, Mom, I'm a hypocrite. But let me just kind of, from my perspective, what was going on. Like you said, you were pushing her away where you pushed me away. And
yeah,
where
totally.
We would talk on a regular, and when we talk on a very regular basis, somehow you were just so busy with school. You just weren't, you know.
Funny, and I was never, all of a sudden I really cared about my studies.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, Mom, I'm just so busy with all this stuff going on, and I've just met these great people, and they're just so much fun, they accept me, and, you know, all this stuff. But I did not know until you told me, you know, that you were living a double life. 100% did I know. But I suspected. I started feeling, and I know it's the Holy Spirit. So you were talking about the Holy Spirit prompting you and allowing you to get miserable and then having your friend, you know, call. Well, the same thing was kind of going with me. I would pray for you. And I noticed that there was just times I wouldn't hear from you. And when you did come home, it was a quick, and you would, and I just think you, again, going back to when you were, even though you weren't living a double life then, you were still miserable. And mm-hmm. I could see it on your face. Well, I could see it too on your face as
It was a different kind of misery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember praying for you and interceding and saying, God, protect her from evil. I didn't even know what evil you were doing. And I still pray that today. I pray it for all my kids. I figured mm-hmm. Jesus prayed that, you know, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Probably a good thing for me to pray. And so I would always pray that. But I remember one day thinking, I never, you know, hear from you very much. And so I started just texting you, hey, honey, I know that you're very busy or whatever. I just want to let you know I love you. And I just kept doing that over and over again. I wouldn't get a great response from you, but I did get, you know, like something, oh, thanks, Mom, and then you'd move on. But I felt like I just had to love you. So when you came home and said, you know, I'm living a double life, I was shocked at some of the things that you did confess and stuff, but I knew that God had already started preparing my heart, and he prepared it long before, so I started interceding for you. And maybe your misery, maybe that's God's answer to my prayers of being able to grab hold of your heart. Again, we now talk about this on some level, you know, every so often. I've learned things that I did not know, like, you know, if I was always trying to perform, I didn't feel like I was good enough or whatever. I might have sensed that, but I didn't really know it. And I think what I would like to say is that God has a way with moms of being, you know, a praying mom, that, you know, just continue to pray for your children and know that God's listening to your prayers. I know that you had a choice, and I knew that God was going to bring you to that choice. And I don't, you know, didn't know what you were going to do, but I do remember not wanting to ignore some of the signs that I really wanted to ignore, because I just didn't want to believe it. And so on my end of it, when you came home and you said, you know, you're in the back seat in the car, Christy was there. And I guess you had called Christy.
Yeah, I called her. That's where I was like, I don't really want to get all these. But yeah, I had called her and told her ahead of time. I was like, you may need to cancel your plans.
Yeah. Any backup. So, and she's been a great, very good sister.
Yeah. And I feel like, so from that point on, I remember, I mean, it goes back to like, I had chosen, like, okay, like I'm going to, I still didn't want anything to do with God, but I also didn't want to live how I was living. So I didn't really know where to go from there. I basically, I struggled with it. I mean, I didn't just, you know, I would sneak off to Auburn and, you know, come back and try, you know, like it was not like I came home and everything was like sunshine and rainbows. It was, I was very much fighting darkness. It had a grip on me, and I was trying. The problem is I was trying to get out of it, but I still didn't want anything to do with the Lord. Like I still, the issue had not been dealt with, which was my heart, which was the pride, the entitlement, the hardness, the bitterness, the anger, you know, like all of that had not been dealt with. So I was just, you know, you can go through the motions, but God's like, I want your heart. That's what it boils down to. And so
it's hard on me because I kept thinking, Kara, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for God to get a hold of your heart? And you were miserable, and I could see that you were miserable. I could tell that you didn't want to live that way, but I knew that you had snuck off. I knew that you were, you know, God had already, you know, made me aware of that. And it was really, really hard as a mom. You know, how much do I step in and preach? How much do I let go? How much do, you know, but I just did a lot of praying. And and I said this, and you said this, you know, when we've talked about it before, I said something to you, and I don't even think you said you even remember saying this, but we were in the study, in my study right here where I am right now, and you said to me, Mom, I want you to know my choices isn't because you aren't a good mom. My choice is because I wanted you. And without thinking, I spoke, which is not unusual for me to speak without thinking, but I immediately said, and I believe this was the Holy Spirit, I said, honey, I don't take responsibility for your bad choices, and I don't take responsibility for your good ones. And I know that as a mom, I was trying, I was fighting. I could think about all the times I wasn't a good mom. I thought about the times that I'd gone through the change and was acting, you know, crazy and stuff. You know, there were times when I would have to deal with my own shame. But I think at that moment, it was the Holy Spirit saying, look, God makes someone holy, not you. And it was that release, the same shame that, you know, different type of shame. But, you know, I had my own shame of not feeling like I was, you know, that if I'd been a better mom, if I'd been, you know, there more for you and stuff like that, as I said earlier, you know, always out, you know, taking care of the others or whatever. And then even going through the change, I felt like there was some part of me that was responsible. But I just, when you came home and you shared with me your double life, I could tell how miserable you were. And then when you weren't really all there, it was mostly performance, but your heart wasn't all there. I was afraid because I'm like, God, what's it going to take?
Yeah, I feel like I remember in this season because I had broken all of the trust. I mean, with you and Dad. I mean, so everything, and that is what, I don't remember a lot in this season. I remember, and it's just like anything I've been through, I would say probably two really big and hard seasons. And this is one of them. And then the other one was a little bit later. It was a very different season because it was more of, it wasn't my sin that was caused it. But with both of those seasons, my prayer has always been, God, help me. I don't want to remember the details. So please take my memory, but help me to remember just enough so I remember what you've saved me from and who you saved me from. Like, so I remember what you've done. So I say all that to say is like, there are certain things that like details I don't remember, but I remember enough. But I do remember with you thinking there's no way, like, I don't know how you're going to trust me again. I don't know how we will ever have the relationship that I want. Like, I don't know how, because you and Christy were best friends and I wanted that. And I was like, I don't think that's possible. I don't think we can be best friends. I don't think that you can trust me, not only trust me in like that I'm not lying, but just trust me as a person, you know, like there. I mean, I remember feeling very hopeless in that way of thinking that is impossible. So I don't know. I just think that in that part is such an important detail because of where we are now. Like that's what I think of when people are like, oh, how close, you know, you guys are. And I'm like, it is the Lord that, I mean, yeah, I could get emotional thinking about it. But so anyway, I think what it took for me, I think it was a little bit of the misery. But it wasn't this like breaking point of, because everything had already fallen. You know, like my dream was to go to Auburn and I had left and I didn't think that I would ever graduate from Auburn. And that was my dream. So I'd already like given that up and settled for like, that's not going to happen, which spoiler, the Lord did redeem that. And I actually ended up getting my degree from Auburn a few years later.
That's right. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. But what happened was I got honest with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in the living room of the house with you and Dad. And it was after another time I snuck off and you guys, anyway, this is where I like, I don't want to go into those details. They don't matter. But we had a come to Jesus moment in the living room, knock out, drag out, fight. And again, I don't remember all the details. I do not want to remember them and I don't want to rehash them. What I remember in that is it was a spiritual warfare going on. You and Dad were fighting the darkness that I was fighting for me, with me. But from my perspective, that was the moment where I finally got honest with the Lord. And it was really just like a moment and it carried on through because I was in counseling and it carried into how I live my life now. But the way I usually tell it is, it was in that moment where I finally let out all of the crap that was in my heart, like all honesty, like all the, I'm mad at you. I hate you. I don't trust you. I don't want anything to do with you. I did all this for you. You didn't do anything for me, you know, about the Lord, like all of the stuff, the nasty stuff that was in my heart, I laid it out before him. And it was as if Jesus walked through it. This gets me emotional every time I think about it. And it was like, God, Jesus walked through all of my darkness and junk and embraced me and was like, I just remember feeling his presence saying like, thank you for finally telling me. And instead of feeling condemned and instead of feeling the shame, it was, I remember thinking, I have been singing about grace my entire life and I finally understand what it is. This is the first time I feel like I have experienced grace in my entire life. And I was 21 at the time. So for 21 years, I've been singing about this thing called grace. But now, because I didn't feel worthy of it. I had so much shame and so much hurt that I had suppressed. And I hated who I was. I hated who God made me and I hated who I'd let myself become. But when I was finally honest with everything that was in my heart, all of the, I mean, it was ugly and it was dark. But instead of God sitting across from me, and, you know, it's one of those things, like, I can't explain it. I obviously did not literally see him or audibly hear him, but everything in my spirit just felt him walk through all of my stuff, all of my honesty, all of the darkness, all of the pain. And just, I felt his embrace and just like, thank you for telling me. And then it was almost as if he was like, okay, now we can get to work. Now I can do in you what I've always wanted to do in you. Now we, him and I, we can start this relationship that he's had always wanted with me. And that's the moment where I have never been the same since.
You know what I love, Kara, is that it's all that darkness, but until you told Jesus about the darkness, the lies that you believe, the evil thoughts that Satan had put in your head that you had embraced and became your reality at that moment, when you released that, you were able, then it was like all of that, once you poured it out, it was as if God, it's just, you gave God the opportunity to bring light into it. It's like, until we let it go, it's hiding, it's coming between, you know, us with God. And you know, talking about not ever feeling like I could trust you, I didn't know if I could ever trust you. And I remember praying often about that. And I remember God saying, don't trust her, trust me in her. And I just kept saying, God, I don't know, I'm just going to trust you in her. And it's taken time and it's taken a journey. And, we all have that, you know. And my story is the same in the fact that I never thought I would do some of the things I've done. And I had to, you know, be honest with God too. So you're very much more like me than you thought in the fact that, you know, I'm a story of redemption. I'm, you know, I've had to understand God's grace. So when you're talking and I, and listening, I share that with you. Not only do I share serving Jesus with you, but I serve what it means to experience grace and forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was one of those moments of when I had to be honest with God as well. So, you know, it is not surprising, you know, that God would use our story of redemption and honesty. We're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And, you know, you've heard me say it so many times. I don't want to ever look back and feel condemned, but I don't want to ever forget what you've done either. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, and I think that's what you're saying as well. But I think that for me as a mom and trying to trust you, I just had to get to the place of just giving you to God all the time, just handing him over and saying, God, I don't know what she's doing. I don't know what's going on in her heart, but you do. I'm going to trust you. Mm-hmm. And that began to build a relationship that you and I had. I stopped trying to put pressure on you to be what I thought you should be and just let God be who he is in you. And I would, trust him.
Yeah, which I'm sure is easier said than done as a mom. Like, I can't imagine knowing, not even knowing, but maybe wondering, you know, what is my child doing? And just having to trust the Lord, because you had to do that when I was walking with them and when I was not walking with them, you know, it's like, I can't imagine how difficult that would be. But I feel like the one thing in it all that I really had to do as well was like grieving my own sin also. And in like a holy way, not holy, in a godly way, probably is a better way to say that. Mm-hmm. And because I think when it comes to like doing things that you never thought you'd do or things you're ashamed of or whatever, it's like, I think the two sides of the spectrum are, you can go to like, oh, well, God forgives everything and just kind of, you know, brush it off and be like, I can do whatever I want because God will forgive me, you know, or you can go to the other side and just beat yourself up and shame yourself, and which is not of the Lord either. But I think like since that moment, I don't even know how we did it, but it was like, I didn't even know what I was doing, but I started to begin to grieve my sin in a godly way, to where it was like, I'm so heartbroken and sad over, you know, what I've done and who I just even where my heart was with the Lord. And it still makes me sad. Like, it's like I'm talking about a different person, you know, like it, even mm-hmm. when I'm talking about, I'm like, I can't believe that was me. So I think, you know, being grieved by that, but also that's why he came, was so that mm-hmm. like he bore that, like I don't have to carry that. So, and it leads me to gratitude, you know, like I'm so thankful that that is not who I am. I'm so thankful that God, mm-hmm. you know, that Jesus took care of that when we just celebrate Easter. And it was, you know, a lot of just like remembering that, of just like he, and what are, you know, these quote unquote big sins, but also I've sinned 10,000 million times ever since then. So it's just mm-hmm. constantly being like, I don't deserve it, but I'm so grateful. And instead of like, I don't deserve it in this shameful way, it's more of like, I don't deserve it because of who you are, but I am so grateful for who you are, and like accepting what he did on the cross and letting that be true in my life. So it's because I don't think I don't want to like brush over. I want to see sin for what it is, see sin for sin, but I also don't want, it does not have a grip on me. You know, it is, I'm free for that. I'm free of that. And all of us are because of Jesus.
Free of the power of sin.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Free of the power of sin. I want to say this. When I started this recording and, you know, this episode today, I read Micah 7:7-8. Mm-hmm. And it says, but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the Lord of my salvation. My God will hear me and he will rejoice over me, over my enemies. And that's your verse. I normally pick the verse. And today you're like, this is yours. And I want to just say it before we leave, because I want to encourage everyone about just how you can go from somebody that's so mad at God, deciding, you know, to just give up on God, and then God not giving up on you. He, you know, came after you just like he did with Adam and Eve. He just went right to them. Like, who told you that? He, you know, began to deal with them, and they mm-hmm. confessed, you know, and, you know, they still had some consequences. And that, I think part of the consequences of what we had was that mistrust. I don't know if I would ever be able to trust you.
We had to work on that.
And mm-hmm. we had to work on that. So it's a journey. But I would love for you to close, and just sharing with you, I normally close, but I would love for you to close this because you say, I love this verse, and that God used this verse to reach down and grab you out of that, the pit of maybe sometimes mm-hmm. when the sin begins to, you know, remind you, the enemy reminds you of what you have done. But what does Micah 7:7-8, what does that say to you? And how could that help someone else that maybe is going through what you're going through?
Yeah, well, I think it was this reminder of when you feel like, and when I felt like the enemy does not want us to forget the shame or mm-hmm. what we've done, or, you know, like he wants to remind us of it. And so it was this like, no, you don't get to gloat over me. I'm Jesus's. He is mine. I am his. And you do not gloat over me. Like I will, it was like this proclamation. And I remember I had it plastered all over me. Like he wanted me back in that darkness so badly. Now on this mm-hmm. side of it, it's like, well, there was so much at stake. I mean, our relationship, this, all of what God's done. I mean, there was so much at stake. And it reminds me of like what you always say of like, I never want to wonder what God would have done if I had just trusted him or if I had just obeyed him. And it was those, I mean, remember you told me that in that season, and that really helped me. And this verse was that of, it was this, I may be sitting in darkness, and I was coming out of it. So not sitting it, like embracing it, but I may be in this spot, but you do not win over my life. Like I am, it was this fight. It brought this like fight out of in me of, I am going to see God in my life. And it was really timely. A couple weeks ago, I was, you know, because we've mentioned this a few weeks ago, you're moving out of your house. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I came home, you know, a couple or 2 or 3 weeks ago, and going through all of my stuff and cleaning out. And it was very, emotional for me because I am looking at all these pictures of who I was back then. And I mean, even from like the miserable little girl to, mm-hmm. you know, the miserable girl in high school, college, you know, all these seasons. And it's ironic because I'm sitting, you know, you could look at, I do all the right things. And I'm still do not have things that I desire. I still do not share my life with someone, you know, like I'm not married. I don't have a family. You know, there are some very deep, deep desires that have not been fulfilled. So it's almost like this parallel to who I was, you know, when I was 18, 19, when I had done all the right things and I wanted this great friend group. I wanted, you know, I wanted all these right things and God didn't do it. And my response then was this anger and entitlement. But now my response is so different. It's this, I sit in it with the Lord. I tell him, you know, when I don't like it. And, you know, there's a relationship. There wasn't a relationship back then. But say all that to say is I was reflecting on all of this when I was home a couple of weeks ago. And it was like this really beautiful picture because I remember in this season feeling like when I was sitting in this darkness, and clinging to like the Lord will be my light. He will rescue me out of this. But I felt like everything I couldn't have what I couldn't be the woman that I really wanted to be. I couldn't have the things that I couldn't have a godly husband. I couldn't have the, you know, like I felt like everything I couldn't have a relationship with you. Like all the things that I really wanted, I felt like I didn't deserve them because I was, you know, I felt like I had messed everything up. But on this side of it, it was such a beautiful moment of coming home in that house because in that house that you're leaving, the Lord made me who I am in that house. I still don't have the things. I still don't have the things. And I'm still praying for those things. But who he has made me to be, I never thought possible. Like I never thought that I could be this secure in who I am. I never thought that I could be that I could wrestle with the Lord in a healthy way. I never thought that I could do ministry with you. I never thought that I could be secure or that I could be confident or that I could, you know, like everything that, and it's not me, it's 100% the Lord. So don't hear me say like, oh, I'm so awesome. It's more of like, it was this moment of gratitude of this Micah 7 verse, he has answered. Like I waited for the God of my salvation and he did hear me. He did rescue me out of the pit. He was the light that brought me out and it didn't happen overnight. And it's, you know, it's been 15 plus years, but now I can look back and be like, he did that. He answered this and I don't have all the things, but he did in me, he did in my heart. And I'd much rather that than the other. And I think the fact that I can say that is proof of what the Lord said in my heart.
There is a God.
Yeah, because I'm just so grateful that he has made my heart heart of flesh and not a heart of stone because I had a heart of stone. And he did that. I didn't do it. I just let him. And that's the beautiful thing. It's like you just let him. You just be honest. Let him in. And he does it. Invite him in. And next thing you know, it's like he did the work. And you look back and you're like, oh my gosh. Look how far we've come.
You know, I think we look at each other and we say, who would have ever, you know, for one thing, the last thing you would ever want to do would be what we're doing and being with this down or Cup of Joy, anything ministry. But I love this. It says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. And you're still waiting on God to do some things. You're still trusting God. You're still waiting on God to fulfill some prayers that, you know, right now not been answered in the way that you'd want it to do. But he says, I wait for him. And it says, but my God will hear me. And I think one of the things is that as a mom, I look at that and I waited on God. I knew that I knew I couldn't change your life. I knew I couldn't change your heart. And I would cry out to God and I would pray and ask God, God, only you can change your heart. Only you can change your life. So that verse really, you know, I've not really looked at it deeply, you know, till you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. But I thought, you know, Carol, while you were crying out to God, while you were waiting for God, I was crying out to God and I was waiting for God. But as a mom, who wants to pray for you, who continues to pray for you, who intercedes for you on a daily basis. I just feel like Jesus is sitting there looking at the Father going, she's ours. She's mine. Mm-hmm. I chose her. She thought she had never been chosen, but she's been chosen by the one that could only love her in a way that only she deserves to be loved. And I feel like as much as I love you and as much as I pray for you and as much as I want what's best for you, I know that God wants even more and that God is praying for you as I know that I've prayed for you. But again, you are who you are because of God.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if you had told me years ago, like, is that enough, like, for God to choose you and not someone else, I would say no. But where I am now, I would say 100% is enough. That's all I need. As long as he chooses me, and he does, then that's it. That's all. It doesn't mean I still want it. I still want to be married. Yeah. But it doesn't. Yeah. It. So, and I, again, it goes back to that's the Lord can do that. If he can do it in my heart, Lord knows he can do it in yours.
Micah says, though I fall, I will rise. And I think that's what you've done.
Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you could be a part of our conversation. To continue the conversation, you can find Dot on social media at Dot Bowen or visit her website, dotbowen.com. Subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and we will see you next week on Write This Down with Dot Bowen.